Hello out there, everybody, Hanshin Tigers fans. It's great to have you back at H10 Hanshin Tigers English News. This is episode 11 of our podcast. And for us, it is Sunday night, October the 4th. The last game of the regular season just ended. And Wizzo, I noticed you get a little bit passionate on the Facebook page there when you're writing comments.
You know, T-Ray, I do. I'm from Southwestern PA, and anybody listening, you know, just Google Southwestern PA sports and you'll find out why I am that way. We're just born and raised into it, to love it, to hate it, to be emotional. And so that's why sometimes my comments get carried away. Like when I make the comments of like, ugh, Merton, what in? That's why I'm the way I am. So I know I frustrate people, so I apologize ahead of time.
Ah, fair enough. I mean, there's a few people out on the Facebook page that get a little bit overheated on the Facebook page, and then afterwards they kind of go back and apologize or whatever. But hey, you know, give Merton a bit of a break because it was his birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, Matt Merton. You're 34 now. It's just great that, you know, you've been with the Tigers for six seasons, and we're thankful, you know, regardless of the fact that you batted 186 in the last 100 at-bats of the season. Sorry. But it's cool because you get to share a birthday with my son, Matt. No, my son's name isn't Matt. But my son turned two on Saturday as well. So we had a birthday celebration and it was great. You know, it's really fun to see my son growing up real fast, learning new words, new phrases. And so we went out and did a photo shoot at the park. And that was a lot of fun. And then we came back and had like a kind of special birthday dinner. And grandma came over and we opened presents. And man, I mean, I didn't think he would understand the concept of birthdays, but I think he did. I think he got it.
Oh, that's good. You know, as long as he enjoyed it, that's the important thing. I mean, you know, happy birthday to your son out there. You know, happy birthday to Matt Merton. I know I bash him every once in a while, but, you know, that's the important thing. Just watching kids' expressions, you know, when they open up gifts and they're tearing through the wrapping paper. It's great. You know, it's a great experience.
For sure. For sure. Yeah, I loved it. And, you know, it's great. It's great that he gets to share a birthday with a great Hanshin Tiger. So that's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
All right, everybody. On today's show, we are going to recap the past week. There were four Hanshin Tigers games. We'll talk about those. We'll choose our player of the week. We will talk some Yutaka Wada. Sorry, I always want to say Yukata. Yutaka Wada. And then we're going to talk about the playoff situation. And we might even look a little bit into next season. So stick around. We'll be back when the music's over. All right, Wizzo, so we're going to go over the games this week, and I don't know how many of them you caught, but the Tigers played Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and today, so, oh, hold that thought, they didn't play Thursday, it was rained out, so they played Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Friday, and today. And they played the first two at home at Koshien. Then they went on the road to Jingu, and then they came home for today's game. So Monday, they were up against the Giants, and we brought Fujinami to the mound, and thankfully for us, they did not bring Michaelis to the mound. They brought Porretta to the mound, the other foreigner on their squad who seems to just have a great time beating us down. However, on this day, we got two runs in the bottom of the first inning and just ran away from there. That was actually all the run scoring that happened all game. Matt Merton RBI, Arai ground out that scored a runner. And that was it. Actually, Fujinami did a pretty decent job on the day. After his first inning of allowing two hits, he went really clean until the 7th, 8th, and 9th when he allowed two base runners in each of those innings. But came out with the shutout victory, his 14th of the year, and it was looking great. You know, a good start to the week for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've talked about Fujinami. This kid is the future. And even people down here that I talk to, like my coworkers, they are extremely impressed with this guy. So, yeah, he did a great job. I mean, shutting out the Giants. So I don't want to get into later segments, but I see a glimmer of hope with Fujinami, man. That's awesome. I didn't catch this game or any of the other games because of work this week, but I was able to read the board, and I was happy to see this.
Yeah, definitely. He went 138 pitches, and You know, he only walked two, which is good. You know, he had a tendency to walk a lot more recently, but he allowed 10 base runners through nine innings, which is not too bad. And, you know, had all bagels across the board for the Giants, so that's great. It's always good to defeat the Giants in that way. Just another note, the Tigers had three base runners in each of the sixth and eighth innings and ended up with no runs. So their problem hitting with runners in scoring position continued. You know, like I said, one of their two runs even came with a ground ball, which wasn't, you know, I mean, it's an RBI, but we didn't get a base hit on it, which is unfortunate. Okay, let's move on to Tuesday. We hosted the DeNA Bay Stars, and we brought big Randy Messenger to the mound, looking for his 10th win of the season to reach double digits for five straight years. And he came out, allowed a run in the second inning, so we were down 1-0, and it stayed that way for a good long time as the Tigers' bats struggled, getting only two hits in the first five innings of the game. But in the sixth, the bats came to life. We got two runs, so we actually gave Randy a lead. When he left, actually, he went seven innings. So he left after the top of the seventh. He was up 2-1. And then in the bottom of the seventh, the Tigers brought another run across the plate with a Fukudome pinch hit sacrifice fly. So he was pinch hitting for Randy. And he did the job in a sense. He got a run across the plate, which is better than some of our pinch hitters have done lately. So a 3-1 lead heading into the eighth inning. And then that is when all hell proverbially broke loose when Wada ripped through four different pitchers to get through the inning. Takamiya, Ando, Shimamoto, Fukuhara. Four guys to get three outs, but in the process of getting those three outs, they also allowed two runs. Tied the game up at three, basically took away Randy's win, because he was the winning pitcher on record until then. And then the ninth inning happened. The bottom of the ninth, it's still tied at three. And the funniest thing happened for the Tigers to win this one. Egoshi came to the plate and struck out. However, it was a wild pitch, so he ran to first base and made it safely. Then Shunsuke bunted him over to second, except that there was an error on the play. And the first baseman dropped the ball, so Shunsuke was safe at first. Egoshi ran all the way over to third. And then their pitcher threw a wild pitch. So that ended up bringing the game-winning run across the plate without a single hit or walk from the Tigers. It was basically three big blunders from the Bay Stars that gave us that win. That was the second win of the week, 2-2 games.
You know, actually, I did catch some of this game. And the first thing I was mad about is, you know, it was one pitcher after another, after another, after another. It's like, who do we have left, you know? That was the first thing that irritated me. Second, obviously, Messenger loses again with lack of run support, as we talked about before. But yeah, that was a weird scenario of how, I think it was, like you're saying, the bunt, Lopez at first base. I don't even know if he realized he dropped the ball, but
it didn't look like it didn't look like he noticed.
Yeah, it didn't. He was just standing there like, oh, you know, and then all of a sudden, he realized, oh, hey, the ball's on the ground. And Egoshi, good heads up running, you know, and, good on him. Had he not had that heads up play and taken third, who knows what would have happened. But yeah,
that was a crazy, for sure.
Crazy game.
So it looked like a good omen for the Tigers, for sure, you know, winning in kind of a lucky way after they'd blown the game. And then they got 2 days off instead of one. So that ended their 12 games in 12 days. And they must have been exhausted by the end, but fortunately for them, there was some rain and they got 2 days off instead of one. And they headed into Tokyo, where they were facing the Yakult Swallows, who are looking to clinch the pennant for the first time in 14 years. So obviously they had a lot of motivation, but so did the Tigers, because a win by the Tigers would have made their chances of taking third place that much better. Well, unfortunately, Iwata was the starter. That isn't the unfortunate part. He allowed a run in the first inning, which was kind of unfortunate. It didn't look good because he allowed a hit, a walk, and a hit to get the run in. But that was it. Iwata was wonderful the rest of the way, only allowed three more hits in his next six innings. And so through seven innings, the score was 1-0, and Iwata left the mound. Takamiya and Fukuhara came in the eighth and ninth and did a great job. Interestingly, though, in the eighth inning, The Swallows brought in Akiyoshi, who's been really good against us, but he kind of stumbled a little bit in the eighth, allowing hits to Nishioka and Toritani. So he got pulled, and they brought in another guy who... Oh, sorry. The second guy gave up the second hit. And then they brought in their closer. They brought in Barnett, who, if you noticed, he's got an ERA of about 0.5 on the year, which is just ridiculous. So it looked like, you know, they're going to bring him in for one and a third. He's going to get their final four outs, and they're going to win the pennant against us. But no, the first pitch that he threw actually was hit right back up the middle by pinch hitter Kentaro Sekimoto, and it tied the game. So there you go. We're going to extra innings because of a clean ninth by Fukuhara and also a clean ninth by Barnett. And then in the 10th and 11th, it was just a battle. Nomi pitched for us and Roman pitched for them, one of their other strong foreign relievers. And actually, Nomi struggled in the 11th, and with two outs, he gave up the pennant-clinching, game-winning walk-off hit down the first base line to their hitter Yuhei. And so it was game over, 2-1, extra innings. Congratulations to the Swallows on the pennant win. Too bad for the Tigers. It put a lot of pressure on them to win tonight's game. But did you hear anything about the game on Friday?
Other than, you know, us losing? No. I mean, it was, I was reading the, you know, the Facebook page, and when I saw that we actually got a hit off of Barnett, that was surprising. You know, good on the Tigers for actually figuring this guy out. But, you know, it's too little too late. You know, nothing we could do. Congratulations to the Swallows. Hey, they worked hard to get up to number one. But, you know, they were the better team.
Yeah, clearly they were. And interestingly, they went out the next day and beat the Hiroshima Carp in Hiroshima, probably all hungover. And there was pictures all over the internet of their manager, like, sleeping in the dugout during the game. But they won in extra innings, so they actually did us a favor. Because what that did is it set up tonight's scenario, which was if the Tigers win, they clinch third. If they lose, they still have hopes of finishing third. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But in tonight's game, the Carp brought Kuroda to the mound, who is one of their big three, but the one that we've actually had the most success on out of the three. So it was looking pretty bad for us, and yet at the same time, we have gotten runs off of Kuroda, and we had Fujinami coming to the mound, who, you know, is our ace. So we were hoping to win and clinch third place. Unfortunately, Kuroda had our number again, and through four innings, we had just one hit. Meanwhile, in the fourth inning is when Fujinami fell apart, because he actually had a good first three innings. But he allowed a single, home run, got a couple outs, walked a guy, allowed another single, which scored two runs. So it was 4-0 at that point. And then Fujinami went one more inning before he was pulled for a pinch hitter. So his night was over very early. And it was a big hole, and Nomi came in the sixth and allowed another two-run home run, which was part of four straight hits that he allowed. So it was 6-0 at that point, and that was all she wrote for the Tigers, really. I mean, you know, we knocked on the door in the sixth, pardon me, in the fifth and the sixth. We got two hits in each of those innings. Both of those innings ended in double plays. There was another inning that should have been a double, should have had a double play in the second, but Kikuchi bobbled the ball, so we had two, potentially three double plays on the night. And then in the ninth inning, we got two hits off of Kuroda before we finally chased him. But the night ended with two straight strikeouts. 6-0. As things stand right now, the Carp and the Tigers are tied for third place. Technically, the Tigers still have third place, but there's one more game left on schedule for the Carp. So did you catch tonight's game at all, Wizzo?
I caught some of it. You know, lucky me, I'm taking a college course. And it's kind of going back and forth. But, you know, I was watching some of it, and I know I made a comment. I was like, why are we taking out Fujinami? And I missed the beginning, obviously, the hit, the home run, the hit. Okay, I got it. You know, I don't know if I would have put Nomi in there, but seeing this how his last game of the season, you're throwing all the cards out there on the table. So, man, I just don't understand how we cannot beat these Carp. I really don't, you know, because Chunichi's going out there beating them up. We are just struggling. So, you know, not a whole lot we can do. We went out there and they went out there and tried. They went out there, they put their heart out there, I'm sure. What really got me kind of emotional was Sekimoto's last at bat, man. That was a great sign of appreciation from the fans, you know, just for, I honestly, looking at him, I think it kind of messed up his bat a little bit. You know, you could see some tears in his eyes, but you know, we lost. Now we just got to pray tonight and hope the Carp lose.
Yeah, obviously a very emotional final at bat for Kentaro Sekimoto, who played for the team for 19 seasons, very long career, third longest career in Tigers history, actually. So it was great watching his retirement ceremony as well. It was the first time I've watched one as a Tigers fan. And yeah, it just really was an emotional time. And yeah, otsukaresama to Sekimoto. I'm really happy that he had another awesome RBI this week to end the week. Pardon me, not to end the week, but against the Swallows, he was the one that brought in the tying run. Unfortunately, we could not get a win in that one, and then we couldn't get a win in his final game, final regular season game as a Tiger. But these things happen. So just a real quick recap here, Wizzo, on our week recaps and all that kind of stuff. The Tigers finished September-October with a 9-15-1 record, which obviously is awful, especially when you're trying to win a championship. And we were in first place at the start of September, and now we may end up in fourth place before this is all done. And one more thing I just want to point out to you is, in episode one, you predicted that in the final 59 games, the team would win 35 or 40 games. And you said the Giants would finish first, the Tigers second, DeNA third, and the Carp fourth. Now, best case scenario, you got the Carp fourth right. As for me, I said that the team would finish 29 wins and 30 losses in the final 59 games. And I said Carp would finish first. Haha, what a mistake. I said the Swallows would get second, so I was kind of close on that. And I said Tigers third, which is also possibly right. And then I guess I said Giants fourth. I didn't really actually say, but I was kind of implying. So their actual record in the final 59 games of the year was 29-29-1. I was off just by a tie, which if the umpires had made the right call, that tie would have been a loss for the Tigers, and I would have been bang on with 29-30. In your face, Wizzo. In your face.
Well, you know, Mr. Pessimistic over here, you, by the way.
Realistic.
Well, you know, looking back, I was actually thinking about that podcast, and I don't think I have that one on my computer here. So I was like, you know what? I said 40, and there was a time. There was a time, man, where I was like, and I think we discussed it maybe offline. It was just like, they could get the 40. And then somebody's contract extension came up, and it was just, man, it was a nosedive from that point. And not saying that's the only reason why we nosedive, but, you know, man, 29.
That someone would be WADA, right? I just want to clarify for people listening. You're talking about WADA's contract extension, because there was talk of that. I think it was the start of September or the end of August where they said, yeah, WADA is going to be renewed through 2016. That's what you mean.
Yes,
right?
That's correct. Yeah, it was WADA's contract. Man, 20. I mean, you cannot expect. You can't expect to win a championship and go 500 in, you know, let's see, 58 games. Is that?
It was 59. Yeah,
man, that's just bad. That's just bad. So good on you. Neither of us picked the first place team. I don't know why you picked the Carp to begin with. I'll be honest with you. The Carp in first won't happen. Never. Well, I don't want to say never, but not now.
Well, they haven't won the pennant in 24 years, which is all, you know, those numbers are meant to be broken or taken down eventually. But just looking at the raw material on their team, I mean, they do have talent at a lot of positions. They do have youth. They've got speed. They've got power. They've got great pitching. Do the Tigers have youth? No. Do they have power? No. Do they have speed? No. Do they have great pitching? Sometimes. So that was one of the reasons that I said the Carp would finish first. I don't need to defend my decision, but because I was wrong, so I'm defending a wrong prediction. So,
well,
never mind.
Look at me. I picked DeNA. I mean, come on. I picked DeNA in what, third?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got egg.
Yeah, they collapsed.
Better luck next year, right?
Yeah. Well, we can predict next year's finish later on, maybe in the spring. But right now, Wiz, real quick, I don't want to take a lot of time with this because there really isn't anyone that stands out to me, but Player of the Week. I've got Toditani for my Player of the Week simply because he got on base quite a bit, and he hit the ball fairly well. I don't know of anyone else that I could name off the top of my head that had a good week that's worthy of being Player of the Week, but congratulations, Captain.
Yeah, I'd agree with you with Toditani. I'm going to go for... I don't have a Player of the Week. I'm just going to go with somebody who did something positive this week. He's going out with a hit back to the pitcher. I'll take Sekimoto. Sekimoto's retiring. He is no longer a Tiger after tonight. You know, just one of those things. He ended his last at bat was a hit right back to Kuroda, which will probably, who will probably retire anyway. So you got like a retiree hitting it to a retiree. But on a good note, good for Sekimoto-san and his career. So that's my Player of the Week, just because of the fact that he was here, he did his time, and now he's on his way out. So, omedetou gozaimasu.
Well, hey, that's pretty interesting. Then Sekimoto gets the Player of the Week 2 weeks in a row, because I named him last week. So good on him.
Oh, did you?
All right. Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay.
I said that he had gotten RBIs in two out of the 6 games, and he got 2 out of their 6 RBIs on the week, despite only coming to the plate 4 times. Anyways, let's look now. Let's move forward a little bit here. Since we're on this note of the past week and everything, let's jump past WADA right now, and let's go into talking about the playoffs a little bit and the playoff scenario. Here's the situation for those of you who have not been looking at it carefully online or whatever. Currently, the Tigers and the Carp are tied for third place, but their records are just a little bit, just slightly different. The Tigers are 70, 71, and 2. The Carp are 69, 70, and 3. So they've got one fewer win, one fewer loss, and one more tie, and they've got one more game to go. So if the Carp win, on Wednesday they'll be playing the Chunichi Dragons, and they will get third place if they win, and if they lose, they will be in fourth place, and the Tigers will be in third. Even if Hiroshima ties, the Tigers will get third place. So, the question then is, if the Tigers get third place, they will go into Tokyo Dome, and face the Giants for a best-of-three series. And they've got to win 2 of those 3, obviously, to advance to the next stage. That stage will be played at Jingu Stadium. It's a 6-game series. Actually a best of 7, but the Swallows get a 1-game lead. So it's 6 games long. And if the Tigers can win that, then they move on to the Nippon Series, and they'll play the Pacific League champions. But my question to you is, do you want the Tigers in the playoffs? After all that has happened in the past week, in the past month, do you want them in, Wizzo? Or do you want them to just go home and have an off season?
You know, if you're a fan, you definitely want to see them in the playoffs. You want to see them. You know, there's always going to be that question in the back of your mind. Did these guys really deserve it? You know, that's kind of where I'm at right now. It's like, I would love to see Hanshin in there, but to maybe get slammed in 2 games against the Giants, man. However, we have beaten the Giants before. We've beaten them. Michaelis.
Hey, you said it right.
I know, right? I watched the Twitter board the other day. And Pareda, if we can knock them out and get to their bullpen, we have a good chance at winning. So I would like to see Hanshin get in. I think, and I think this happened last year, I think we could beat the Giants. We have shown that we could beat the Swallows. We just can't beat them 2 games in a row. So that's the problem we run into. So, yes, I would like to see them in there. Have they earned it? You know, probably not. You know, however, if they get in, we're all going to be behind them 100%. That's the way I feel. So I'm not sure how you feel about it, though.
Yeah, obviously, you know, if they make the playoffs, I'm going to cheer for them because the alternative is cheering for the Giants, and no sane person living in Kansai would do that. But actually, being the realist that I am, not pessimist, I'm going to actually say I don't want them to make the playoffs. And the reason is actually because our record at Tokyo Dome this year is 2-10. So assuming that we even make the playoffs, we have to win 2 out of 3 in their barn. I don't like the odds. I really don't think that it's going to happen. And I just don't want to see it. I don't want to spend 2 or 3 more evenings in front of my TV watching them getting beat up badly. I wouldn't mind if the season ended, and I think, you know, it would be a fitting end to Wada's career as a Tigers manager if they don't make the playoffs in his last year. That makes it a much more clean cut, like, hey, you couldn't even lead this team to the playoffs after they made the Nippon Series last year. We're cutting you loose. It's just more fitting than them making the playoffs. And, you know, because who knows? Yeah, if they beat Tokyo, Yomiuri, pardon me, in the Dome, and then if they happen to pull off a miracle and beat the Swallows and make it to Nippon Series again, and if something amazing happens there, it kind of looks bad for the Tigers because his firing or his non-renewal of his contract is official. So I just don't want to see... I don't want to see either scenario. I don't want to see them win Nippon Series and then have them cut Wada loose or have them change their minds and bring Wada back. That would be an even worse scenario. Or I also don't want to see them just go into Tokyo Dome and lose 2 out of 3. So I'm going to say no. And now that we're talking about Wada, let's move on. And instead of doing Wada disaster, Wizzo, I really didn't see like a terrible move that he made this week. Instead, as a fitting way to end his time with the Tigers, let's talk about the things that we want to see different in our new manager. The things that Wada messed up or didn't do right. Mm. Let's talk about a top three. So how about this? You can give me one or two and then I'll jump in with a couple and then we can kind of settle with a top three at the end.
Well, I'm going to steal probably one of yours.
Yeah.
And it was one of my words on Words with Friends and, the bunt. Man, there is a time and place for everything. The time and place is not trying to, you know, gain a run or two runs, get a man on base, and then bunt. I know we've all beaten up the bunt word. We've all beaten up Wada verbally and, you know, on the Facebook page about bunting. But, you know, we just can't use it so much in a game. We just can't. We can't give free outs, so...
Let me just jump on that real quick. Of course, I agree with you about the bunt. And somebody in the Facebook group pointed out in an interesting article online that she found. And it talked about the bunt. And it talked about how the manager of the Swallows, Manaka, he talked about when their season turned around. And he said, you know, there was a time we lost 9 straight. And it was in the middle of that losing streak when we faced the Tigers. And they were on a 3-game losing streak themselves. And so Wada was kind of struggling with managing the team a little bit and stuff. And he ended up calling for a bunt in that game. And you know what? I would have called for the bunt in that situation too. But when I saw Wada do it, I stopped myself. And I said, I can't keep doing this all year. I've got to play baseball the way that I want to play baseball. It doesn't matter what people expect. I'm not going to bunt in that situation anymore. And guess what happened? The Swallows lost that game and they ended up losing a few more. But Manaka attributed his team's turnaround and his turnaround as a manager to that decision and to watching Wada manage and saying, I'm not going to do the same thing as Wada did. So good call on the bunt. Have you got another one for us, Wiz?
No, I honestly, I don't. I was thinking like 3 things I can, you know, I mean, don't go through so many pitchers in one inning, but that's not really, I don't want to be fair and, you know, steer people away from this, you know, this section right here. But no, the bunt was the big thing. And that's a great article and a great point that, that you bring up about the bunt. So no, I don't have anything. I turn it over to you for yours, unless I stumble upon something.
Okay. Well, we'll call the bunt number one because we both agree on that. And it was something that kind of caused frustration all year for us. Okay, so the second one for me, I'm going to call it the lefty-righty disease because that's what a lot of the Japanese people call it. they call it Sayubyo, which is kind of left-right disease. And basically, it's all of these matchups that WADA arranges, whether it's putting Arai at third base because we're facing a left-handed pitcher, or whether it's putting Ito in center field because we're facing a right-handed pitcher, or whether it's during the game, like you said, switching up his pitchers simply based on the lefty-righty matchups and saying, hey, it's going to be a favorable matchup. Well, it's just playing things by the book way too much in that. You know, there might be a time where that's right, but there also has got to be a time where that's not going to be the right decision. And so to me, I just got a little bit tired of that. It was just so predictable.
Yeah. Lefty-righty, I mean, they're all hitters. You know, that's how I've seen things. You know, hitters get up there and they hit. You know, left-handed, right-handed, you know, to me, somebody who analyzes pitching and batting like that, you have to have a rock-solid strategy to make that thing work. You just can't go, oh, yeah, you up here because, you know, so-and-so's on the mound. You really got to have it down to a science. I don't think WADA has it down to a science. I think he was just going with gut instinct, and obviously we failed more than we succeeded, I think. Yeah, that is a little frustrating. But like I said, hitters are hitters. They're going to get up there and hit the ball, whether they're left-handed or right-handed, going up against a left-handed or right-handed pitcher. So you just got to, hey, you can't hit against a left-handed pitcher? Well, let me show you how to hit and improve on that aspect.
Well, it tells you something about his lack of faith in his hitters as well. When you say, okay, Imanari, you're batting 290, which is best on the team, but you're a left-handed bat, so I'm going to put in 195 Arai because he's a right-handed bat. You know, it's a full 100 points lower. Or he did the same thing at second base. It wasn't a full 100 points, but hey, Saka, I know you're only batting 180, but you're a left-handed bat, so let's start you in this game. So, I mean, it's stuff like that that bug me. Okay, let's move on to number three, which is kind of related, but not really. Again, it's lack of faith in hitters, lack of faith in pitchers, and that was demonstrated by him punishing pitchers especially, but even hitters, when they kind of had a little bit of a rough go at things. They got farmed way too fast, and people that got called up from the farm were not called up based on their performance on the farm, but rather because, hey, we've got these empty spots because we're kicking down the guys that had a bad game. So I remember at one point in the season, I think it was against the Giants in that 12-run disaster of an inning, several pitchers just did terribly, and I think most of them got sent down to the farm. Another example, more recent, and people can agree or disagree with this, but Perez got called up for three games this week, and it was pretty exciting to be able to see a lineup with three foreigners. And unfortunately, Perez went 0-for-9 in those three games, and instead of being able to hit tonight, or try to hit tonight, they farmed him. And they brought in Shibata from the farm, who is not a great bat on the farm or on the big club this year. He pinch hit, and he didn't hit. I think he popped up. So I just thought it was a bit of lack of patience again with Perez. But, you know, even before that in the season, it was a season-long problem. It wasn't just this week. So that would be my number three. What do you think?
Perez, I didn't even get a chance to see him, you know, see him up there at the plate. Farming people. I mean, we saw earlier where Messenger was farmed. But Messenger came back and blew people away, you know, so farming, you know, keeping Perez, you know, he signed with the team. He was in the farm leagues. We bring him up here. We give him nine chances. Nothing produced. We send him back. You and I have talked before, you know, get the kid, throw him back in the fire. You know what I mean? Put his feet to the fire and put him back in there until he, you know, learns what big league pitching is, you know, not, you know, that's how I think sometimes, but yeah, I mean, you got to give these guys chances. You just can't throw them down into the farm because they had one bad game or bring them up because, like you said, an open spot. Yeah, there's got to be a strategy to the way that things are done. And I don't think WADA is doing it correctly. If WADA is, in fact, the one going, yeah, hey, you're going down, these guys are coming up.
Let's move on to the very end of the show. And basically what I want to do is I want real quick predictions. What do you think is going to happen in the playoffs? In the Central League and the Pacific League and in the finals, because we can revisit this later. So here's the situation, and I don't know how well you know the teams, but the Swallows are going to be hosting the final stage of the Climax series in the Central, and they'll face either the Giants or the Tigers or Carp. So who's going to win the first round in Tokyo Dome against the Giants? Will the Giants win it, or do you think the underdogs will take it?
Well, if considering the underdogs, the Carp or the Tigers.
Yep.
Man, if it's the Tigers, I'm picking the Tigers over the Giants. I won't pick the Carp over the Giants.
Okay. I'm going Giants over whoever wins. I don't like the Giants, but I don't think that either of these two third place potential teams have what it takes to beat them. And I'm actually going to say the Swallows will have an easy time with the Giants. I think the Swallows are going to the Nippon series. What about you?
I agree. I think the Swallows will beat the Carp. Again, I think we could beat the Swallows, but we can't beat them two games in a row. And that's been our problem. So I would say, unfortunately, they would beat us and they would go to the Nippon series.
Okay. Then over in the Pacific, the SoftBank Hawks won the pennant, so they're going to be hosting the final stage. And the first stage will be hosted by the Nippon Ham Fighters, and they will be playing against the Chiba Lotte Marines, who clinched their third place spot today. Congratulations to the Chiba Lotte Marines. What do you think? I don't know how well you know the PL, but who's going to win that first round? Is it going to be the Fighters or the Marines? What do you think?
Well, I'm a Marine, so how would it sound if I go against them? In a sense.
Okay. Okay. You can play that. That's fine. I'm going to go Fighters because they've got Shohei Ohtani as their top pitcher, and I think he's going to smoke the Marines in game one. And then after that, the Marines would have to win two straight in order to take it, and I just don't think they can do it. So I'm going to go Fighters.
Okay. I was going to say Fighters, but I got to go against the Marines. Common sense will tell me Nippon Fighters.
Fighting Hands. Okay, and then they will head into Fukuoka to face the SoftBank Hawks. Does anybody stand a chance against them, Wiz?
No way. I'm sorry. SoftBank is very powerful right now. I don't think anybody would beat them. That's just my opinion. The stranger things have happened.
Yeah, you know, I find it hard to disagree with your choice there, Wiz. The Hawks really are strong. They're still 13 games up on the Ham Fighters. There, you made me say it too. It's the Fighters, the Nippon Ham Fighters. Anyways, they're 13 games up on them. They've got incredible bats. They've got 35 more home runs than the Fighters. Their average is higher than the Fighters. The only way the Fighters stand a chance is if Ohtani's able to start two of the six games, win them both, and then somehow the rest of the pitching staff pulls it together. But even then, SoftBank has got better pitching than the Fighters do on the whole. So I really see SoftBank winning that, and then it'll be a SoftBank and Swallows Nippon series. What do you think? That should be a real interesting one, don't you think, Wiz?
I do. That would be a really good game. But, you know, I want to make predictions now or wait?
Yeah, go for it.
I'd say back-to-back champions. That'd be SoftBank. I don't think Yakult can... I don't think the Swallows can keep up with the SoftBank Hawks. I don't think so.
It'll be fun to see the battle between the two 30-30-30 guys, though, where the SoftBank Hawks have Yuki Yanagita, who hit over 300, had over 30 home runs and over 30 stolen bases. And for Yakult, it was Tetsuto Yamada, who did the same thing. It'd be great to see them going head-to-head as key batters, but I agree with you. I think the Hawks are just too strong overall, and I would love to see the Swallows win it just because I don't like the Hawks, and it'd be good for a Central League team to win just to shut up all the people that have been saying all year how bad the Central is, but the reality is the Hawks just are that much better. The other thing is the Hawks end up having home field advantage for this series because in Nippon Pro Baseball, home field just shifts from Pacific to Central based on the year. So the odd years, it's Pacific. The even years, it's Central. So this year, the Hawks or whoever wins out of the Pacific gets home field advantage. So I'm saying Hawks. You're saying Hawks. Let's see what happens. It'll be interesting. Anyways, Wiz, and just so the folks out there know what we have planned for the off season, which might actually start today, we still have lots to talk about. I mean, there's a draft coming up. There's free agent acquisitions. There's new management coming in. There's foreigners that might be leaving and foreigners that might be coming in. There might be trades, all sorts of stuff. So we plan to continue the podcast, but less frequently than before, probably about once a month. And it may not come to you on a Monday. It may come to you midweek. So just keep your eyes open. Go to the website, www.thehunchingtigers.com. Check out the Facebook page because it will be posted there anytime that a podcast is put up. It's there. You can check us out on iTunes as well. You can follow me on Twitter at The Haunching Tiger as well. All good stuff. Remember, you can also send your questions or comments or feedback or anything to us by email as well. podcast@thehaunchingtigers.com. Wizzo, it's been great to talk with you through the final 60 or so games of the season, the second half of the year. It has been awesome doing this podcast. Thank you so much for joining me week in and week out.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. And I want to thank you for all the editing that you do, all the translating that you do. You put a lot of work into this. And last I checked, you weren't getting paid for it. So, you know, my thanks to you for putting up with me and my confusion and actually putting this live on the internet for all of us to listen to.
Oh, yeah, sure, man. It's my pleasure. And I just love being able to be part of the Tigers community and somebody that can help bring people together. So let's keep it up. And hey, you know, 2015 is still technically not done. We can always hope for a Carp loss on Wednesday, folks. But if this is the end of the Tigers season, so be it. It's been wonderful. Thank you for being with us and see you next time on H10.